This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is the Morning Run. You're with Julian Ng and Lin Mark. Razor thin is how you would describe the results of Turkey's local mayoral elections, which are widely seen as a referendum on President Recep Tayyip Erdogan's. 91% of the votes have been counted, and in Istanbul, the AK party, which is under President Erdogan, has claimed 48.71% of the vote compared to CHP's 48.65, but still a few votes to be counted.
Yeah, so apparently there's a saying in Turkey that whoever wins Istanbul wins the country. So this is why Istanbul is in the spotlight. So the opposition CHP candidate for mayor, however, has claimed a very narrow victory in Ankara, which is the Turkish capital. But in Istanbul, the governing AK party has said it won a tight victory by just one percentage point. More than 57 million people in the country were registered to vote for the mayors and councillors in this election, which came amidst an economic downturn.
And President Erdogan was saying as though in some conciliatory move, if there are any shortcomings, it is our duty to correct them. And he had previously said that the poll was about the survival of the country and his party, which has dominated politics for 16 years. Wouldn't that kind of statement mean that you're encouraging people to go for a change, like 16 years in power?
I think it was in reaction to the fact that this is the first time in 16 years that the AK party is concerned about its political survival. Because if you think about it, if you look at the Turkish elections, kind of election environment, right, 90% of the media is pro-government. President Erdogan has been quite fierce in condemning his opposition. He's labelled quite a few of them as terrorists and jailed opposition leaders on terror charges. So if you take that into account, it's really quite amazing that the opposition managed to win as much support as they have.
Yeah, but there's also the economic angle, which I'm sure Erdogan's camp would latch on, because his time in office has been distinguished by consistently strong economic growth. But last year's currencies crisis officially triggered a recession, and inflation is hovering at about 20%. That would not bode well with the voters, and yet almost half of the voters voted him back.
Yeah, so the Turkish economy has also been hit quite hard since the Turkish lira so plummeted against the US dollar last year. It lost as much as 40% of its value due to a couple of factors. So macroeconomic and structural worries, investor concern over the independence of the central bank, as well as a diplomatic spat with the United States. And although the government has moved to increase interest rates and help the currency regain some of its value, that also had an effect of it caused a massive decline in bank loans and a loss of business confidence.
So Turkey GDP per capita today is about $9,600, about 3,900 ringgit in 2018. And this compares to about $10,600 in 2017, a fall due to the lira crash. And I think there are parallels to our local general elections that happened last year as well, because there's a huge amount of discontent mm-hmm. that has existed for actually not just during the last election, but for a long time with a kind of draconian powers that was used by not only Najib's administration, but the previous governments as well, putting a very bad taste in people's mouths.
Yeah, so that it's what we see a lot in our elections as well is a lot of racial rhetoric and fear-mongering, which is also what we've been seeing in Turkey. So it's in Turkey, you know, it's branding opposition leaders as terrorists. It is stirring up that rhetoric on this election means our national survival, because implicitly you're saying that if the AK party doesn't continue to rule, the country is going to go down the tubes. So that's very, very familiar rhetoric for
that's
us.
That's right.
We've heard this because we had it for 60 years.
Exactly, like a kind of threat that put over your head. I also think that social media and the internet would play a part in such elections. People would have a lot more information today to make a very considered decision compared to in previous regimes where you just rigged the game for yourselves. Even today, if you control the press, that would not have any material impact because people have access to information.
Yes.
Fake news notwithstanding.
Fake news notwithstanding. I think it also, looking at this election, kind of did make me feel that we really did get off quite lucky in the sense that GE14 was a very peaceful transition of power. In Turkey, this is only just the mayoral elections, but it has not been bloodless. Two people were shot dead at election centres, I believe in the Malatya province, if I'm not mistaken. So you are already seeing, I feel like this is probably a precursor to the eventual general elections. It could be something not to be missed.
Okay, that's another election in Ukraine. A comedian with no political experience has won the most votes in the first round of Ukraine presidential elections, according to exit polls. Volodymyr Zelensky, who played a president on a sitcom, in fact, received about 30% of the votes.
Now, this is also rather familiar because it reminds us of the 2012 US presidential elections, because you've got a character who appears on TV running for president and apparently pulling ahead. So the current president of Ukraine, Petro Poroshenko, is in second place on 17.8% of the vote. And the two who have expressed, you know, largely pro-EU opinions are set to take part in a runoff election next month.
So Zelensky has a very interesting strategy for the elections to promote himself. He has torn up the rule book of election campaigning, staging no rallies and a few interviews, and appears to have no strong political views apart from a wish to be new and different. I'm just wondering whether this is really catering to the wave of populism that's going around the world right now, but apparently he's appealing to the younger voters.
Yeah, I think it's appealing very much just into the desire for change without necessarily having to provide what those changes are. So Mr. Zelensky, part of the reason for his popularity is his readiness to speak both Russian and Ukrainian. So this is at a time when language rights are a hugely sensitive topic in Ukraine, and that has gained him support in Ukraine's largely Russian-speaking East.
And also something about the current president, Poroshenko, was elected in a snap vote after former pro-Russian president Viktor Yanukovych was toppled in February 2014 in the Maidan Revolution, which was followed by Russia's annexation of Crimea and the Russia-backed insurgency in the east.
So just a quick fun fact about Petro Poroshenko. He is a chocolate magnate and also one of Ukraine's wealthiest people. So we have a presidential runoff between a comedian and a chocolate maker. That feels like the start to a bad joke. So the EU says that about 12% of Ukraine's 44 million people are disenfranchised, largely those who live in Russia and in Crimea, with Russia annexed in March of 2014. So Poroshenko aims to appeal to conservative Ukrainians through his slogan, Army, Language, Faith.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.